Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening. This is Jennifer Hellman. I'm coming to you from Maui today. I've been on vacation, but I'm welcome to be here and talk to you tonight. Tonight we were supposed to have Dean Foster, but unfortunately something came up and he was unable to make it. We will be rescheduling this wonderful numerologist very soon. But I'm very, very honored and just thrilled to have Michelle Caparelli with me, who is a wonderful psychic, and you will be wanting to pick up your phones and give us a call. She is a wonderful psychic. She's been doing this. She's been having communications with the spirit world since she was 11 years old. She is multi-talented. She does mediumship. She is clairaudient, meaning she's clairhearing. She is clairsentient, clairfeeling. She also is clairvoyant, clairseeing. She has an air of confidence with her delivery of her message, and a sense of humor as well. So I would like to welcome Michelle to air. How are you doing tonight, Michelle?
I'm great, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing good. One other thing I forgot to point out, Michelle, is you also are radio host on your own show called Insight.
That is
on Mixed Talk?
The Mixed Talk.
And what would you like to start with? You're a wonderful psychic. You've been doing this for how long professionally now?
Professionally, I would say about 15 to 16 years now.
Yes. You mentioned in your bio about 10,000 readings.
Well, we're a little bit over that now.
I'm sure you are. Let me catch my breath.
How's Maui, by the way?
I'm sorry?
How's Maui, by the way?
Maui is beautiful. A lot of sun, a lot of clouds, a lot of wind, and a lot of water. The ocean just surrounds it. I've been able to be completely around this island this week, so I've seen it all. And it's a wonderful, and I thank the hospitality of the Maui people. It's been a wonderful week. I come home tomorrow.
Sounds beautiful.
Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're most welcome.
I want to give the numbers right away because I know the listeners are going to be wanting to call in and talk to you, Michelle. If you're in the U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. And please call on in anytime if you have questions for Michelle. She loves to do readings, and we're here to help her do just what she loves to do. Now, you started getting your gift when you were about 11.
That's correct. You had a visitor. I did. My great-grandmother, who passed away in 1977 when I was 11, decided to come visit me in my room the night of her wake and tell me that she was okay. And that was very comforting because it was a very sad time in my life and my family's life. So that was quite interesting, but I decided not to share that with anybody because I thought they might have considered me delusional at that moment.
Well, we all have those moments, don't we?
That is very true.
And were you afraid at this moment, or is it just comforting?
It was very comforting. It was a very wonderful experience, and I was not afraid. I was completely awake and, you know, kept looking around the room thinking, all right, I've lost it now. But it was real, and I can remember it detail for detail, you know, now as we speak and all these years later. It's never left me.
Yes. From that, did things start happening more frequently, or what happened next with your gift?
Well, a lot of times I would be at school by the oak tree and sit down, and I would see people passing by and think it was literally a physical thing, and it was not. It was all a very spiritual thing. I would get a little bit confused about what I was seeing and feeling, so I would sit down and take notes. My Catholic upbringing made me feel a little bit confused and more nervous about this than anything else, and being young and being very innocent. And I would see friends that have passed in our family, or if I would go to a wake with one of my friends, you know, out of respect for their family, I would see people walking around or I would hear things. But I, you know, it's been a wonderful experience, and as it grew and grew and grew and I got older, I decided to attend the College of Metaphysical Studies after reading several books, and that really helped me get a grip on it to understand what I was doing, because, you know, at one point I thought they might just commit me, so.
Yes.
Don't tell anybody, they might put the jacket on you, but
yes.
It's been great, and I love what I do, and I'm very passionate about it, and I'm not just a medium, I'm also just a plain old psychic doing other readings besides that, but that is my forte, that is my passion, that is what I enjoy most, because when I am able to do that and connect, and there is a connection, there's a message, there's a lot of laughter in this too. You can make it very comical because it's very soothing, and I like to take things very light so that people are not hysterical, but the feeling of doing this and being able to have this is such a blessing, but it's also wonderful when you're able to express to the person that you're giving the message to, it just brings a lot of peace. And it sometimes provides some closure when someone passes away, and you know, you don't get to say goodbye sometimes, or things happen. So it's really wonderful. In fact, we were talking about that when you called me earlier.
Yes, we were. We were actually talking about a family member that I had never met, because it was my father's mother, and she died when my dad was 9 years old. I wasn't really in his life yet. Yet she has been a very much around me all my life. So, yes. The V she kept seeing was my grandmother, Virginia.
Yes, the V name.
The V name, yes. Is that the way it sometimes happens, just a letter or just a face, just a word, and you go, okay, and what was this meaning? Or how do your messages come about?
Mostly, well, primarily my gift is clairaudiency, which is hearing. And since I have a little bit of a hearing problem in my left ear, I seem to hear more in that ear. And I can hear things, and then they give me visuals. So when that happens, they'll describe what they look like, things that they had done in this life, because I don't believe there is a permanent death.
Right.
Those type of things. And I do hear, see, feel. And a lot of times it's when you're doing a mediumship reading, what happens is, and this is my experience, this is in my humble opinion, you raise your vibration, and the person who is in the spirit world brings their vibration down, and you connect in the middle, and that may be where they got the word medium. I'm not real sure about that one. But a lot of times some of the messages are, they'll give you an initial, and sometimes people have really just come right out and said the name, and I would say, okay, who's George, for example? Oh, that's my
right.
dad or whoever. So it's kind of interesting, but they do show a lot of things most of the time. I'd say 90% of the time. So the person who is receiving the reading can really understand who that is.
Right, right. And so for me, even though you hadn't really talked to me yet, and yet your Virginia was communicating with you already. Have you ever had, out of the blue, something come about and somebody calls you later and you understand why this person's been around you?
That happens often. As a matter of fact, when I go online or I am getting ready to do a session and I
right.
need to call out to call a client, or I'm on the air doing readings, a lot of times I'll get a feeling like, all right, this is it. Or the phone will ring and I'll think, okay, this person just walked into the room, or I'm hearing things. And that happens often, and that's very cool, because I'm very well aware that something's going to happen.
Yeah, it kind of helps with preparing for the session. If they're already present, saves a little time.
Sure.
You're very quick with connecting, aren't you?
Yes. Sometimes I've had trouble, which I think everybody does who does this, and
yeah.
No one is 100% perfect. or correct except for God. So, it's been a great, it's a wonderful way to connect, and it brings so much pleasure to me, and just to know that I'm helping other people. So it's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Now, you do regular, quote unquote, psychic readings as well. So you also
love.
Yes, love and the money and
love.
It's
really all about love.
Yes.
Everybody wants to know if they're going to win the lottery. Well, if that were the case, I would not tell the numbers.
Yes.
I'd have to pin the right state and city.
Right. Right. So, do you really do a lot of the mediumship, and you get a lot of pleasure from that, and the other readings. Do you really want to focus on one area more than the other, or you just are blessed with all of it and you just do it all?
I do it all, but like I said, my forte, thank God, is being able to connect, and that's what I love doing most, but I'm very pleased and happy to do any kind of reading for someone at any time.
Excellent. And we do have a caller, Michelle.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome the caller to the line, and what is your first name, please?
It's Robert.
All right, Robert. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. What question do you have from Michelle tonight?
Well, I wanted to find out, my dad had passed a couple of years ago, and I've been able to experience, you know, the other side of feeling people around me and speaking to their loved ones on this side, but I've never ever been able to feel his presence, or because it was, you know, he was an alcoholic, abusive, didn't talk to him, you know, within at least 8 to 10 years before he even passed. There was just no relationship there. And I was just curious about, you know, where he is, or, I mean, I know where he is, but if he's passed or if he has anything for me or anything like that.
Michelle?
I'm just waiting on your cue. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, good. I'm glad you asked. What I'm hearing, I want to make sure I'm hearing it correctly. You're wanting to know if your father has passed?
No, I know he's passed.
Okay. I misunderstood.
I've just never had any feeling or sense of him being around me, or because, like I said, I've been able to feel others from the other side and speak to their loved ones on this side.
Okay.
A few times, not, you know, it's nothing consistent, but, and I just get the feeling I can feel their presence and the others can feel their presence through me.
Okay, that's fine. I'll tell you what I get, and I'd like you to be real open and very honest, and if you are stumped on something, please take notes, because a lot of times people go, I don't know, and then it makes sense to them later, which is very common. So what I first get with your dad is the feeling of complete. It's not that it's an abandonment issue just between you and he. He's done this to everyone. He makes me feel like he just hauled off and left, and there is a service connection, which means in his younger years, he had to have been in either the military, police department, fire department. Does that ring true to you?
Yeah, he was a Marine.
Okay, because I keep seeing colors, stripes, you know, things that would represent either service or the police department. So that, you know, that's a given. I mean, that's good that that's also coming out. The feeling with him is he's just, you may not be able to feel him right now. Have you ever had any dreams with him?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, because that's also another way that people connect, and they may not realize that they do. But what I am getting from him is there's a lot of shame, and I'm not taking that because you said he was an alcoholic and he had these issues and problems. There's feelings of the shameful feelings that I get from him are, you know, logically, because you said it, of course, with the alcoholism and the other problems, I get him being most shameful for being in debt, which means his financial issues and the trail of lack of money and problems that he left behind put your family in a bind. And he makes me feel like he just booked, hauled, left, and didn't look behind. He also makes me feel like he had another family, and this is what I keep hearing, meaning like your family, you, your mom, that he married again, attached with another female, and created more children. Are you aware of that as well?
Yeah, I've got a half-sister.
Okay. And that
was the she was the perfect one.
Okay. Well, no, don't say that.
That's what in his mind.
Okay. But there's one thing I will tell you that I am certain of is when someone passes, they are not in the same mindset that they are when they are here on this planet. Because my belief system and my experience will tell you that when you are looking on the other side and you're looking, you know, out, it's like just use an example like you're looking through a window. You're able to see things very clear and what your problems were and what you didn't do, what you did do. So he doesn't feel that way anymore. There's a lot of remorse, a lot of guilt because of those reasons. And I truly believe that if you're not connecting with him and you can feel other people, there's also another younger energy, like a nephew, a cousin, a young child that's passed that feels like he's with him. Who's Nicholas, or the N-I-C name?
Nicholas. I'm not sure. I had an older brother that passed. He was 18, but it was Andre, not Nicholas.
All right, well, like I said, please write that down, and you can remember that. I'm sure you will. Who also makes me feel like he's with your dad, but it does feel like it's your father's side of the family. So it's paternal side, not maternal side. There's a feeling of that young boy that cannot be older than 8. This is between, like, 2 and 8 years of age, with a lot of health problems, a lot of muscular problems. That's with your dad, and I do get that. But dad also feels, you know, like this is the little boy that's trying to bring him up or bring him through. And the reason why you may not be connecting is because of maybe the embarrassment. And a lot of times, too, we don't connect all the time. When they're ready, they'll come. And, in fact, if you think about it, you're connecting right now. Because what I'm trying to get at is he's apologizing for the things that he did. And the only way that I could get you to understand that is by asking your dad to give me specifics of his life and show me things and tell me things so that it would make sense to you. So my question is, does that make sense to you now?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And the best thing you can do is keep talking to him. You know, why do you, and then this is what I get from your dad, and you are not at liberty to answer this, but I keep getting you going over books of his, memoirs, notes. What does this mean?
I haven't gone over any. I don't have anything of his.
He's got notes. He's got books. He's got a lot of writing.
Yeah, he does a lot of writing. I don't have anything of his.
Okay.
At all.
But are you familiar with that? The fact that he does have these things?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because a lot of things.
But I'm not.
A lot of things are being kept from you. Meaning, like the family, the other part of the family, has kept things.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? When he passed, like I said, he left a trail of, you know, a lot of money issues behind where people had to clean up after his mess. And there were not things left behind in a good way. Are you aware of that as well?
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit.
All right. Well, what I'm saying to you is, and I know this is very hard to digest and sometimes it's hard to believe, but I truly get a feeling of remorse, guilt, sorrow, please forgive me. And the best way to communicate with him is exactly what you're doing now. You don't have to go to a medium to do this. Just keep talking. And when he's ready, he'll come. And this might just jolt him because I do get things from him, you know, automatically. So this could be helpful to you. And another good thing to do is when you sleep, keep a little journal or something next to your bedside in case you do dream, because that's a great way to get up and not forget the dream.
Yeah,
just in case he decides to, like, you know, trot on in. But I hope that's answered your question. Did that help?
Yeah, it did. I was just, like I said, I was curious because he's been dead for quite a few years now. And, you know, like I said, I've had feelings of presence of others and that weren't related. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff within the family that happened because he did leave us when we were very young and just up and gone.
Where do you, okay, please don't just say yes or no. Do you know where your father was born or raised?
Yes.
Okay, your family has a, I want to say, because I keep seeing the initials NH, there's a huge New Hampshire connection.
Really?
And I don't know what that means, except, of course, the state of New Hampshire. So if you don't know what it means, please take it down, because I feel like a lot of people came from that coast, that area, like the New England area, the New Hampshire area.
Well, his mom came from Nova Scotia. But...
Okay. Now I'm sticking with the NH.
Yeah.
It's just something that you need to digest and think about it, and I'm very sure you'll figure this out.
Okay. Michelle, let me ask you a question. Should Robert be trying to get some of these writings? Is his dad wanting him to get these writings?
I believe so. And the reason being, which is a great question, Jen, by the way, it will tell you a tale a lot about his life, because he makes me feel like a very struggled, and that's probably not the perfect grammar, he had a very tainted kind of life. It's like high to low. pardon me, I'm sorry, Robert.
No, his mother hated little boys.
Well, that's not a good thing.
No,
his life makes me feel very tainted, that he just did not have what he didn't have the skills. And this is where this might be a great way to forgive him, because I know you're struggling with this, and I'm sorry, and I know how this feels too, by the way. It's the feeling of he didn't learn how to parent. And a lot of times when children are growing up in a household where there's a lot of violence, because that's what I do get with him, you know, that he was brought up in an abusive home, and you're telling me that she didn't like boys, and, you know, that's not nice. So the thing is, and without passing judgment, because everybody has issues, when you're not raised in a really good family and environment, what happens is that doesn't teach you how to be a parent. You know, children learn. So he wasn't well equipped to be able to handle this, and didn't know what he was doing, and I'm sure the military made him very strict. But if you were able to get those notes, those memoirs, whatever you want, whatever they're called, this will really paint a picture of what his life was like. Because like I get him being alone. Like he's left for dead, basically, no pun intended with that one. But he's alone as a child. He has to fend for himself 90% of the time.
Yeah, well, he was sent to military school at the age 9. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I understand a lot of his lifetime and what he went through. But, you know, we were never to have that talk of, you know, the forgiveness, or I've had to pretty much work through that on my own and dealing with those feelings.
Okay.
Robert, I would like to make a suggestion, and this is what George is telling me, is do the research, get the writing, and put this together in a book, because I think it would be very healing for you. And help you with the forgiveness if you truly understand where your dad came from, and understand, it will help you understand you as well. So that's just a suggestion that I'm putting out there for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay? Thank you very much for calling, Robert. I really appreciate it. And many blessings to you.
And same to you. Thank you so much for both your time.
Thank you very much.
Right. Robert, God bless you.
Well, Michelle, you got a lot of information very quickly in helping this man beginning a healing process that he's been dealing with for some time. I'm actually getting chills from this.
Aw. Come on, Jen, stop wooing me.
Now, is this a typical kind of client that you have, just kind of piecing together the pieces that they're missing?
Yes, that's very common, and, you know, I think it would be very beneficial to Robert, and most people go through this, because like we were saying before, there's no closure. You know, this man had no closure. He was not able, you know, it's very difficult to go back to try and discuss something with someone when they're not here. And if he's getting experiences from other relatives or friends that are around him, then it seems like he has no closure, and everybody needs some sort of closure in some way, shape, or form. And there is a way to do it. And I would also suggest to him to write, if he needs to write in a journal and express his feelings. That's also a good way. But that is typical, because a lot of times, and I will say this right now, don't ever take someone for granted when you care about someone. And I know this is cliche-ish, but this is really how I feel. Let them know, because... And this is on a positive note. Nobody knows what the next day is going to bring. So it's really important to connect with your friends and your family and you know, just be good and loving and kind and just let people know. Email your friends, do whatever you got to do. Because then you don't want to leave it where there's no closure.
No.
And I'm very sure he's going to find peace and he's going to find closure with this and he's going to understand his dad a lot better than he, you know, may not have been able to before.
That's wonderful. Yes, I agree with you. Well, and we also have another caller right now, Michelle. What is your first name?
My name's Kempet.
And welcome to the show. And what's your question for Michelle tonight?
I actually wondered, I'm in a situation with the government, involved with the government. Basically, 7 years ago, I was fully enlightened and then put under mind control a year after that, and I've been pretty much trying to get out ever since. And I just want to know if you have any insight or anything like that, if you could pick up, because, you know, you hear about it and people talk about it like it's actually a conspiracy theory or this and that, but it actually really happens. It's not more of a psychological, but they do that. It's more of a spiritual kind of mind control.
Okay.
Michelle, do you have any comments?
I will do my best. I didn't catch your first name.
My name's Kempet.
Okay. Well, it's nice to meet you. This is what I get, and I would like you to validate as we go, if that's possible. Are you supposed to be contracted? Because I feel like you're stuck. There's a 7-something with this. I keep getting the number 7.
Hmm.
So I don't know what that means. Like, are you under a contract, or are you under... I'm not really sure how to express myself.
No, you're pretty much, what I understand, I'm a pretty spiritual person myself, but what I understand, it's pretty much, I think, a past life contract.
I'm not getting a past life contract.
No.
What I'm getting is, you know, how much time do you have to be in this yet? I feel like there's 7, not 7 more years to come, but what I'm getting is you've done this or something's been going on with this for 7 years.
Right. No, this is my 7th year.
Oh, okay. Did you say that before?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I'm not getting that from the wrong direction. All right. So I've got that with you, and I feel like you've got 2 more years of this to get out of this.
Okay.
So I don't know if you are planning for this or you're putting in paperwork for this, but I don't get you staying.
Yeah. I'm moving forward. I'm doing steps to get out. Just trying to do things myself. But, you know, so 2 more years. Anything else?
Why do I get you zigzagging, which means you're going from parts of the country, you know, traveling back and forth?
Yeah, because I just moved. I think you guys are in the same area. I just moved from Los Angeles to Mount Shasta.
Okay. And that's where you need to stay.
Yeah.
You needed to get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another thing I do get. But it's real important for you to get yourself grounded with this, because I feel like where you were before was not good for your emotional state of mind and your physical state of mind, and I don't feel happiness there. I feel you better where you are now, because I'm watching like a map in my head, and I feel like I want to zigzag across the country. And I feel like you had to pinpoint where you're going to move to.
Right.
So that's important. But, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat a reading, and all my clients know this. I get two more years of this. But I'm very sure that you're going to be able to get out of this, because you're doing things in the right direction to do whatever you have to do to get out of it.
Right.
So this is not a forever situation, and then you will move again after that.
Right. Okay.
Does that help?
Anything helps, especially for someone inclined like yourself. I do appreciate all your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you consciously know that they're doing this testing?
Oh, excuse, you broke up there. What was that?
This is Jen, and I'm just wondering, do you consciously know that they're doing this testing?
What was the last word? Pressing? Did you say pressing?
Testing. What the military is doing with you, do you consciously remember them doing it?
Oh, yeah, they do it. I mean, I'm pretty much monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, they invade my dreams. It's mainly psychically attacking me. They take a lot of my heart. Their main concern is my heart. I'm that type of being where, you know, my energy, my whole thing is in my heart, my love. So
okay.
they know that. So all they do is try to take that. And then they put this, the whole thing is like the maybe 2 years, but, you know, pretty much since I've lived up here in Mount Shasta for the last 3 weeks, I've been able to basically stop most of their psychic attacks. They'll use black magic. They get various different agents, you know, multiple agents on me. But the thing is that they put this weird type of energy. It's a mind energy, and they put it inside my brain to stop like the psychic functions. And they also put it in the back of the where the medulla oblongata is, or the mouth of God, where the kundalini comes down. So they put this energy wrapped around my head and through the back of my medulla oblongata. And that's basically what I'm kind of calling in about, because this is what pretty much, once this is off, you know, it basically makes me fully realize my whole soul. I mean, before it was, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like I'm getting cut off. I'm kind of like, I got two wheels on a four-wheel car right now. You know what I mean?
Right. I was also involved with some experimentation when I was a kid, so I totally understand what you're going through. So that's why I was asking the questions. But for me, they actually blocked the memory, so I didn't know what was going on. That's why I was asking the question.
What are you doing to help yourself is my question. What about prayer and grounding, meditation, everything that's positive? Because my philosophy is you got to be positive. You got to pray.
No, you're right. Basically, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a man called Seth Coronado. He's out in Sedona. He has a website. I don't know. Can I say it?
I have not heard of him.
Okay. Basically, he was under a mind control program, more serious than mine, but he had some of the same things that were on him in his brain that was with me. So he was basically, him and his dad are both shamans now, and they do this. They do, past life or soul recovery. And they've taught me this this technique called the Heavenly Catalyst. If you look it up, you can Google it, and it's an amazing thing. It's basically out of total responsibility and love and kindness. And love and kindness is basically the highest frequency that can basically, you know, stop or just counteract any kind of malice that these agents have. You know, they'll send four or five or, you know, remote agents anywhere, and they'll basically all try to psychically attack me. But my whole thing is that I'll just love them. I just send out a love, and it overrides all their malice. So then they can't do anything to me for that time being. Of course, you know, they'll send more and different ones, but the whole, you know, attack or psychic attack or engagement warfare, the psychic warfare, is their malice against the target's love. Like, they're the target, and it's the love that pretty much can kind of override their system.
Right.
So that's what I've learned in the last 3 weeks. It's an amazingly powerful thing, you know what I mean, to realize, like, you know, you hear about, oh, love is the most powerful thing, and, you know, love this and that, but then when you actually generate it within yourself and feel like it throughout the universe, and you see it in everything, and you feel it, and, you know, and you have compassion for everybody, it just changes everything around you, you know, everything within you and around you. And they know it too, and they've been, you know, pushing harder against me. But, you know, that's my life, and I'm kind of, this is my lesson, so I'm totally, you know, I'm responsible for this, and I've totally accepted that. But, you know, I just, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much my life, so.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling. It's a pleasure, and please, many blessings to you. As somebody who understands what you're going through, it's not always easy to understand what is going on, and it seems like you got a great handle on it, so I really appreciate you calling.
Okay, thanks for your time again, and I'll keep listening to you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that was an interesting call.
Very.
Yeah, it's an interesting to... I have found more and more people who have been used in experimentation. Some people know, some people don't know what is going on. And for me, it was an experience of figuring it out on my own. And all I had was flashbacks of certain things that happened to me. So I did some regression work. And I suggest that for anyone who is questioning if they have been used, do some regression work. And there is a lot of very professional people who do specialize in this kind of regression because there can be triggers and it's not always easy to figure out what's going on. So if you would like to find out a specialist for regression, please give me an email at jen@jenniferhellman.com. I know quite a few people who are out there trying to help you. So do you get many calls about that, Michelle?
Honestly, no. I've had a few, but I have a different belief system about that. So, you know, but my whole thing is I will definitely say a prayer for this gentleman tonight and, you know, keep him in my thoughts and prayers, and I'm hoping that everybody that's listening is going to do the same thing, too, and I'm sure they will.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I mean, he needs to get out of it and get himself the help that he needs because he's a nice person and new, but he deserves to be in that.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience that somewhere along the line you have the contract, as you said, and it's definitely when it's up, it feels great when it's up.
And you don't want to renew at that point for that, anyway.
It's almost like it's part of the military. You feel like once you're in, you're always in, but in reality,
right,
you can't walk away. So it's always great. So there's a lot of different things out there that are kind of thrown your way. How do you handle something like that, or do you just say, okay, channeling what you're getting and just stay with that?
What I do, and even in his situation, because I periodically throughout the years had calls like that, I will tap into what that person's feeling, what I'm getting, and I will just, you know, I block myself. I don't let anybody near me, anybody
right
in. I'm real protective, and I'm definitely blessed. So what I do is I just channel for them, listen to what I'm getting, try and do the best thing that I can for them and give them whatever information is for their highest good, and then I release it, and I say a prayer and just say, okay, God, it's your turn. You know, but I certainly understand that that is a very difficult situation to be in, but, you know, it'll take its time, and it'll work through, and we'll say a prayer for him.
And he has definitely found some support that's working for him, and that's the
prayer
best thing.
Prayer is very powerful.
Very much so. So, Michelle, we have another guest. We have another listener. And what is your name? Welcome to the show.
Yes, my name is Nick.
Hi, Nick. How can I help you tonight? Or how can Michelle help you?
Well, my mother passed away a long time ago. I'm wondering if you're getting anything.
Okay. Well, hi, Nick. How are you?
Hi. Fine.
I'm good, too. I'm glad. I didn't mean it that way. I'm thinking of, I was going to ask you a question. I don't know if this is your mom, but I keep getting the Rosemary, R-O name. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I'm getting. What I keep getting is a woman who goes by the R-O initials, and those could be first and last, but I keep hearing Rosemary, and I'm real, like, stuck. When I get on something, I won't get off of it because I'm real sure about it. And she makes me feel like there's an esophageal problem. There's problems with her voice, like she's having a very hard time talking and expressing herself. And I don't know if this is fitting with your mom, so I want you to be really open. If you're married, I want you to think about your spouse's family or a significant other or friends, anybody, you know, because we're all connected, so you're going to get people back and forth. But what I'm getting is this woman who keeps talking about her throat, the reflux coming up, not feeling well, and also there's a feeling of not being in her right mind. So are you aware of who this is yet?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
What about your family members? Are you in a relationship, married?
My wife's mother's name is Rosa, but she's
That's the R.O., and where is she?
She's still on this side.
Okay. Is she having problems with her throat?
Yeah.
And she is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Tell me something. Are you able to tell me how much time I have left?
No. That is not my job. That is God's job.
Uh-huh.
No. But I, you know, my
Sylvia
thing
Brown
is...
Sylvia Brown will do that a lot, you know.
Pardon me?
Sylvia Brown will do that quite often. She will say, exactly how much time someone has, because I do have a lot of health problems.
Okay. What I pick up from you health-wise is I don't get a good blood flow.
You're right about that. I had bypass surgery 5 years ago.
Okay. But my thing is that you're going to be okay if you just keep on it and keep taking care of yourself. I get a lot of people thinking that you're not going to do it, or you're just your doctors didn't have a lot of faith, or they may have misdiagnosed things for a while there. That I do get, but I don't get it being, you know, I am not, and I would not want to ever have this. You know, I respect Sylvia Brown. She's a very good psychic. She's, you know, she's got her stuff together there, but, you know, for me, I do not have the ability to predict something like that. To me, that is entirely up to God. That has nothing to do with me. I always tell people, you know, value your time, but there is just a feeling with your, and I'm not shifting away from you on purpose. I don't get negative from you. I get feeling of, you know, things not flowing properly, but I also feel that there's a way for you to fix that, not just with medication, but also maybe alternative ways or just, you know, meditating, doing things to feed your soul and to be good to your body. Are you taking care of yourself?
Not as good as I should.
Yeah, okay. Well, that ain't going to help.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, like, you know, smack you for that one.
Okay, well, to get away from me.
To get away from you, you know that.
How about my father? He passed away a couple of years ago.
There is charcoal, which to me there is a lung problem.
No.
I get a problem with breathing, like there's labored breathing.
No, actually, he had the same as me. You know, bad blood flow.
Okay, did he have problems breathing though because of this?
Not that I know of. No.
I would think if there's not really good blood flow and there's a history of heart problems in the family that he may have had problems breathing. But that's what I do get.
An uncle that passed over that had emphysema. Yeah.
Okay. But there is a problem with breathing. And I do get JH. So I don't know where those initials are coming from. It's got to be within the family, but this man cannot breathe. And he's having
what were the initials?
J-H.
No, that doesn't ring a bell either.
No, I'm batting 1,000 tonight. See, that's why I tell people, write it down. But, there, you know, with your dad, he does make me feel like he is overcompensating for everything. Meaning, like, always trying to please, always trying to overcompensate. What's the baseball thing with him? Does he always collect caps?
No, he was a good baseball player, but
he was a good baseball player.
Not caps.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, I keep seeing baseball caps, and I keep hearing, you know, let's go out to the ball game. So there has to be a baseball connection with him, not because he was a sports fanatic, or not because he liked to watch it on TV. Perhaps because he may have wanted to and had the opportunity to get into the minor leagues at one time in his life.
I don't know about that. I know he played just locally. In fact, Robert Frost was the team coach. Robert Frost, the poet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I know who that is.
When he was a boy, yeah. When my father was a boy.
Why does he want to overcompensate for all his for all the things that he may have done wrong or not communicated well?
Well, I don't know. He may want to overcompensate. Yeah, he was a little difficult. Yeah.
It's very hard. There's a feeling of I need to overcompensate because of my transgressions or my mistakes. Like, I try and overcompensate with either gifts or trying to say I'm sorry, but I can't quite get out the words. He just makes me feel like he didn't have enough time to finish what he wanted to or say what he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of overcompensating, so I don't know if this is in reference to maybe your parents were not together or not getting along, because there's a lot of, there's like a split. There's a lot of,
He wasn't getting along with the family very well on
okay.
my side, with my brothers. Yeah.
Well, because he makes me feel like, and like this is the old expression, the black sheep of the family. So he's overcompensating in other areas as he gets older to do this. He makes me feel like I have to overcompensate because I messed things up prior to this, and I don't know how to do that, so now I got to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, very interesting man, and I do get baseball all over him. You know, and I'm sure he enjoyed watching baseball, which most people do. I do. I know that for sure. But I really like the fact that he is very strong, athletic built, very, very nice man, and then I feel like he just lets himself go.
Mm-hmm.
As far as physical attributes, like he's not paying attention to that. But there is a problem with the breathing, and that is not, I mean, for me, you can mix energies up, but I do get several different things going on within your family. You know, like family history, bloodlines, you know, just sometimes people have genetics, you know, with your cholesterol and things like that. So what I really want you to do is focus on your health, and please keep taking care of yourself.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
I appreciate you listening. There is a common problem with, so much information, and it is connected. And I know in the few days, he's going to go, oh, my God, that's what she meant. And everything's going to fall into place.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I almost was getting a feeling of a little bit of a skeptic with him, and I may be wrong, but it's difficult to always have all the answers for people, and we can only tell people what we get, and a lot of people don't understand that. Correct, Michelle?
That's true. But one thing I do want to say, and I hope he's still listening, is that was his mother-in-law, right, he was speaking of, the Rosa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's real important, even though, you know, okay, she's not deceased. That's good. We're glad. But that woman needs to go back to the doctor and get things checked out just to make sure that she's okay, or she might need to adjust a certain medication. You know, I could almost be positive that that person maybe over-smoked because her throat feels very burned. There's a sensation of burning. So what I wanted to tell him, and then I also wanted to, you know, I hope he's listening, you know. If he's not, that's okay too. But I wanted to let him know to please go get that checked, because I'm getting that name and that fits. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't predict death. That's not my job.
No.
And I, of course, my answer would be, yes, we're all going to die someday. That would be a great prediction that I'm positive will come true. But,
yes.
You know, the thing is that what happens is that's not really something that, you know, for me, my personal opinion and my experience, that's not my job. That's up to God, not me.
Plus, who would want to know, okay, only have 2 days and 3 hours left to live?
No, I wouldn't want to know that. That would just not be fun for me.
That's just me. And, you know, if he really wants to know, he can ask his guides to tell him in a dream. You know, he can go direct and see if he'll tell him, because if he really wants to know, there's ways of finding out, but not necessarily from a psychic. That's something you need to look within yourself, and you will know how long.
I definitely would not want to know. I would just want to do like the song says, live like you were dying.
Yes. Yes. Most definitely. Now, real quick, because time is running out so quickly, I do want you to talk about your show, Insights, and what that is all about, when it started, and what's going on with it.
We started out with that show, let's see, this is, what month are we in, September? Oh, quite a few months ago. And the show is called Insights. It's on themixtalk.com every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because I know you guys are on Pacific Time. And every Monday I have a guest on. I am the host. I will do readings live on the air for people. We've just had a wonderful turnout with lots of people signing up. We've got a great guy who just did this fantastic website for the new Mix Talk, and we've got new users signing up. You can come in and chat with us online. I've got a great lineup for October, a great lineup for November. Every week what I try and do is get people on that are, you know, really fantastic, interesting people that give insightful information, and then always ready to do readings at demand, on demand. It's like the pay-per-view, but you don't pay. So we, and then you can go in and download our shows. It's not just myself. We've got a several other people on there that are not just doing readings, but other different types of shows, and it's been a great experience.
Yes,
it's a lot of fun, and you're going to come on in December, right?
Yes, I am.
That's
and
great,
I also am having another one of your wonderful hosts over there on next week. I'm having Kimmy on.
Ah, Kimmy's awesome. She did a great reading for a friend of mine last night that just kicked butt.
Yes.
She's cool.
Yes. Any final words? Because I believe we just have a couple more minutes left.
Just thank you so much for having me on. It was a wonderful experience. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. And what else? You've been a wonderful host, and thank you. You've been most gracious, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, I thank you for filling in at the last minute. Literally, I wrote her an email. She wrote me an email, and I said, by the way, can you do the show this Thursday instead? And she said, sure. So many, many blessings to you for filling in at such short notice.
No
I really
problem.
Appreciate that.
No problem.
Excellent. You're excellent, and I will be calling you soon.
Yes, and have a flight back. Have a nice, safe flight back, and enjoy it while you're there.
Yes, I am definitely enjoying it.
And I want to see the pictures.
You will see the pictures. As I said, next week I do have Kimmy on. She is also a psychic and a very gifted one. She also will be talking about a book she has coming out and a new charity she's starting. And I also would like to ask the listeners, first of all, I want to thank you for listening, but I also want to hear your feedback. What kind of people you would like to have on air. So please give me an email at jen@jenniferhillman.com. I want to thank the people who have been sending in their feedback. I do appreciate it. And until next week, remember to breathe in air. This is Jennifer Hillman, your host, thanking you and wishing you good night and many blessings. Thank you.